to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is October 25th, 2017. Now, this is going to be interesting. Before you listen to this podcast, let me encourage you to go and listen to Isabel Hyman's podcast in January. January 11th. Listen to that podcast first. If you haven't listened to it, then join us. We'll wait for you. Okay, so hopefully you listen to it. I want to introduce you to Janine Hyman, which is Isabel's daughter. And so welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
So anyway, how did you find out about the church?
Oh, so I found out about the church in 2000 and I want to say 11, maybe 12.
Okay, 2011, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you find out about it?
My mom.
Okay.
My mom told me that Eva, you know Eva's
Yeah, name? Eva. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Eva is the one that talked to your mom about the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talked about, then your mom probably talked to you about the mm-hmm. church. Okay, where were you then?
I was in prison.
In prison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we've got to go back here and think through this. What were you in prison for? We can take a break.
No.
Okay.
On September 16th, 2010, I got up to go to work, got ready, went to work, and like around 11 or 12 in the afternoon, I got a phone call at work saying for me to go to the hospital.
Okay.
That my daughter had an accident in the shower.
Okay, who called you?
The police department.
The police department?
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you went over, obviously you raced over to the hospital.
Yeah.
And did you think it was an accident? Did you basically...
I really did think that maybe, oh, she was in the shower, she slipped, she probably broke her arm or something, or... I never imagined... it being what it is.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I got to the hospital, I asked for my daughter and they wouldn't let me... they weren't talking to me, they wanted me to sign all these consent forms and stuff, medical forms, and...
Before you even signed it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was just... I got upset and I was saying, no, just let me do what I have. Let me see my daughter and then I'll sign all the papers and stuff. And they never let me see her. They took me to a private room with like 3 or 4 other cops.
Okay.
And one investigator, homicide investigator, and 2 doctors.
Okay.
At that moment, they told me to sit down and... and the first words that came out of the homicide investigator's mouth were, "We try to do everything we can for your daughter, but she's gone."
Okay. And I'm assuming that you just totally lost it.
I did.
Okay.
I remember, I can still hear myself screaming.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go back now. People that are listening to this podcast going, "Kevin, how in the world would you put this girl through this?" Okay. And let me, so everyone's not hating my guts. You wanted to do this too, right?
Yes.
Do this podcast because you think your story is important.
It is.
And when I asked you, would you be open to it? You said, "I knew you were going to ask me because the Lord told me
mm-hmm.
and wants me to share my story." So before everyone thinks, "Oh my goodness, Kevin's just doing this crazy thing, leave this girl alone." And so I just wanted to throw that out there, okay? Now, let's go back, cause it was, mm-hmm. and let's go back to how you were raised and then kind of work ourselves how in the world you got in this crazy situation
mm-hmm.
and what happened. And so tell me where you were raised. Tell me about your upbringing.
I had a... To me, it was perfect because I had my mom in my life.
Okay. It was just you and your mom, or did your dad?
It was my mom, me, all her siblings, and their kids.
Okay. So you don't have any siblings yourself?
No.
Okay. So you're the only one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you grew up in this environment. Now, was your mom and dad together
when you were young? No, they separated when I was little, but
okay.
It wasn't like... Of course, I did miss him and want him in my life and stuff.
But was he ever in your life?
Occasionally, sometimes, very temporary.
Okay. He, like, tried to do it for about 10 minutes and then...
Yeah, and then leave. Okay. He was caught in his own thing.
Did that mess you up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we're all messed up, you know that. So having your father, so you grew up without a father figure.
Yes.
In a sense. So teenager, everything's going fine?
I was pretty bad in high school.
Okay.
I was rebellious.
Okay.
I know I gave my mom a hard time, like my grades and lying to her about my grades and stuff like that.
Where do you think that rebelliousness comes from? Were you angry or just?
Now that I look back on it, I do feel like I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
I was hurt. I felt more like. Sometimes I felt like I had to, compete
mm-hmm.
with everybody else in the household to get my mom's
attention
and stuff. Although she was always there for me, like I just felt like it wasn't enough because I felt like I'm her only child. I should have all the attention, and all of my cousins and her brothers and sisters and her mom and dad had her attention. Like she always had to tend to them and stuff.
So it didn't matter what attention you got from your mom, you just got attention. So even if she's yelling at you, disciplining you, hey, I got her attention.
Yeah.
Right. Now, to me, that definitely comes from some crazy brokenness. Do you think it stems back from your dad's absence or?
Yeah.
Wanting to be loved.
I'm sure it does because even till this day, when I got out of prison, I looked for him. I called him and I looked for him, and he's still, like. He's just not there. He's not,
So in a sense, it's almost like, Dad, I need your validation. I need your love. Mm-hmm. I need to care about it. I need your presence. And that's got to go through you in a sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Because I have issues with my dad, and they're not anything like your issues, and it goes through me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway, so when did you start dating your... Your daughter's dad.
My daughter's dad. I started dating him in 2008, I believe.
Okay, 2008. Mm-hmm. Now, how was that relationship?
No, because Mia was born in 2005. So in 2003. In 2003.
Okay, 2003. And how'd you guys meet?
I was working at the Marriott.
Okay. Really?
And, his cousin's husband worked there with me.
Okay. And then you guys kind of got connected.
Yeah.
How was the relationship in the beginning?
It was cool. It was good.
Okay.
He was a gentleman. He wasn't a jerk or anything like that. Okay.
And so, therefore, and then you became pregnant with Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And was it planned or just, oops, we just...
It definitely wasn't planned.
Okay. And so, and you decided, you know what, we're keeping the baby and stuff like that. Was he okay with that too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, then you had Mia.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of the name Mia. Where does that name come from? Why Mia?
Always liked that name.
Okay.
And then, actually, I liked the name Amor.
Okay.
And my cousin said, well, what about you name the baby Mia Amor?
Okay.
So then I was like, I like Mia. And I was like, yeah, that sounds good.
Mia Moore.
Means my love, yeah.
Oh, Amor means my love?
But Amor means love. Mia means my.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mia Moore, my love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting. So therefore you had the baby. Did you notice, like, things were going a little tense with him and Mia?
No, because it never did. It was, this is, I think the part that you don't know is, what happened is.
It's always good to tell him in front of the podcast.
Okay. Well, because a lot of people don't know, because all they hear is my mom's story.
Okay.
And my mom doesn't go all the way in depth with everything.
Okay.
I think it's too much for her. But Mia's dad, Mia's dad went to prison when Mia was 2.
Okay.
And that time, we got married.
Right.
And within that time, how, I don't know, but he cheated on me while he was in prison.
Okay.
So he sent me divorce papers. So we were in the process of getting divorced.
All right. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But that, I know. Okay.
I ended up meeting somebody.
Okay.
And that's the person that changed my whole...
So, now, okay. So that person, what was his name?
Solomon.
Solomon. And so when you met Solomon, then was it rough right at the beginning?
No.
No, okay.
It was totally... It was like... I never imagined that he was...
So you, in a sense, you were thinking... I got my family back. We can make this work. Like, me and Moore has a dad now. Right?
It led up to that.
Okay.
It led up to that. At first, I was still like, okay, I'm going to get to know this person. Because I already felt kind of like, by what her dad did, I kind of felt like, okay, now I really got to be careful. Like,
right, you know? Right.
But he, like, I didn't even, my daughter didn't even get to meet him until like a year later.
Okay.
If that, like, no more than, no less than, like, 7 months right. after I had already been talking to him and stuff.
Okay. So therefore, in the first year, the relationship seemed to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of fear of anger coming up or anything in the relationship, or did you just...
No, because he was always really calm and really cool. Okay. Like, he liked the things that I liked. We had a lot in common and everything. And
okay. Did you ever talk about marriage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were planning on getting married?
I mean, I say eventually, but right. not like right away, because right. I was still trying to situate everything with Mia's dad and really get myself together and really think about the right things for Mia. Like, I didn't want her to be, get confused or anything like that.
And so therefore, then you started, the three of you doing things together.
Mm-hmm.
Did Mia like him?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my thing. Like, if she didn't like him, then, because my mom always raised me to tell me, like, and show me, like, if you don't like someone, you tell me. Don't ever be afraid.
Okay.
Like, and that's how I instilled it in Mia too. Like, you let me know if you're not comfortable, because then that means that I told you, you're the boss when it comes to that. When it comes to people and stuff, you tell mommy what to do. If you don't like that person, then we don't have to be around that person.
So a month before the infamous phone call that just changed your whole life, what was going on then? Did you see any warning signs, or in hindsight?
My mom and our relationship wasn't too good.
Okay.
She didn't like him.
So your mother had radar.
I know she had the radar. Like, that's now looking back on everything, it's just like, that's, like, one of the most difficult things to have to live with. Like, dang, why didn't I just, like, take heed my mom's, like, feelings towards, like, that person?
Did you feel like your mother was going, Mother, you're just being oversensitive?
I felt like she was being overprotective over everything, because she felt the same, kind of, not the same way, but she kind of didn't like Mia's dad either. Okay. So I was just like, okay. Like, because I was being rebellious. Right. Like, I wanted what I wanted, and that was just how...
It's almost like when your mother, obviously, her marriage didn't work out. You would assume, Mom, you just hate all guys. You know what I mean?
And the thing is that, like, a lot of people used to tell me that. I used to be like, no. Like, I used to go against, like, no. I was like, I don't think so. I think it's just she doesn't... I do get it. Like, even then, she would tell me, nobody's ever going to be good enough for you.
Right.
So that was my thing. Okay, to her, nobody's good enough for me, so I know what's good for me. Like,
Because I know your mom real well. She has an incredible gift of discernment.
Oh, yes.
She can, what I call, see through the BS. And she just tells it like it is. And your mom has a big heart, and with a big heart, she hurts big, too. And that's a problem when you love deeply. And I don't know how it's like to have a daughter or son, but I know that love is far deeper than a spouse. It's just a deep love that you have for someone. And so there was no signs of warning to you that Mia was in a situation. So this, when this phone call was a shock. So going back, let's go back. So the police told you, did they tell you what happened?
They didn't tell me what happened.
Okay.
They didn't tell me what happened. They, when I got to the hospital and everything, they didn't tell me. They just started asking me questions. They showed me pictures of her. And
oh, that would be crazy.
Those pictures are still in my mind.
Were they showing those pictures to get you to break down? Or?
Yeah. Okay. To get me to say I did it or I knew this or
but
this.
But you were
that.
At work.
Yeah. I was at work and it took them, I mean, I think I'm being lenient on them.
Okay.
But it took them, I got out in 2015. 2013, so it took them like 3 years to finally like, okay, we know she didn't do anything.
Right.
But I have already been locked up for 3 years, so why?
So what did they arrest you for?
Murder.
They arrest you for murder.
Yeah.
And Sam, what's his name?
Solomon.
Solomon for murder.
Mm-hmm.
So they just assumed you were there when this happened?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Did you go, I was at work, guys. How did they connect this?
Well, they had, I'm pretty sure Solomon said that I did something before I went to work. So they took his word for it.
Okay.
I think that's why they were acting like that with me from the beginning. But they knew that I wasn't lying when they got all the records of me being at work at the time I was there, my boss vouching for me and everything. And them calling me at work and me having to go to the hospital from work.
Right. So therefore, did you have a trial?
I was going to.
Okay.
My whole thing was, okay, the day that I found out, the day that this happened, I instantly, like, got this huge tug to just me and God, me and God, me and God.
Okay.
And I just told him, I've already lost my life. There's nothing worse that can happen. Tell me what to do.
This is what you told God. So, therefore, you're in prison now. You lost your daughter, so you're right. You have nothing to lose, right? And so this is where I would assume most people in your situation would just say, forget God. I ain't dealing with this. You know, God, if it wasn't for God not intervening, I wouldn't have lost my daughter and I wouldn't be in prison. Did you think that?
No.
You never thought that?
Mm-mm.
I must be totally shallow because I would have probably been thinking that. So therefore, going back, so there was no trial?
No, I didn't have a trial.
So did you take a lesser charge? Is that what happened?
I took a deal. Okay. I pressed for it. I pressed to not have a trial.
All right. Because the trial could be, you could be in prison forever.
Mm-hmm. Right? But that wasn't even really my concern because I didn't care.
Okay.
What
made you decide to take a deal?
It took them 3 or 4 days to arrest me.
Okay.
I got to go to Mia's funeral and everything. Within that time, God was really talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me 10.
10.
He said 10. And I was like, 10 what? And I just kept hearing 10. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, whatever. 10. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means.
Right.
I kept praying. I had this, like, really overwhelming... It was a really good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I just embraced it. Like, I was just, okay. I had this... A really strong sense of peace.
Right.
With a flood of, like, hurt and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
The morning that they arrested me was the morning my mom and I and my grandma were taking my uncle and my aunt to the airport because they came from Mexico for Mia's funeral.
Right.
So that day, as soon as we got back home from the airport, the homicide investigator showed up with the cops and they went in the house and they arrested me. And I knew, like, I kept hearing 10. And I was just like, okay. I looked at my mom, looked at my grandma, my grandpa. And when I walked outside that house, I seen my little cousin walking to school. I was just like, oh God, please don't let him see me like this.
Mm-hmm. Were you handcuffed?
Yeah, I was handcuffed. They handcuffed me inside the house. And I got into the police car and it was just me and this lady cop. And she told me, she's like, I'm so sorry.
So she was feeling...
A lot of people knew that I didn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
When I got to the police station, everybody was being apologetic and everything, too. But I guess they have to do what they have to do. And
yeah.
It turned out I was being charged with murder. And later on, a few court dates passed and I was being charged with murder and child abuse resulting in death.
Mm-hmm.
And child neglect and resulting in death. So I finally got to talk to my attorney that seen me all the way through the process and I told him I'm not going to trial.
Mm-hmm.
That he needs to get me a deal, or...
Why were you so scared of trial?
I didn't want my mom or my family to see the pictures that I seen.
Okay.
And that was what God put in me, the fight to fight for that, like...
Okay. So you were saying, let's take a plea deal, because I don't want my family to go through what I just saw.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just said, okay, take a plea deal. So your lawyer says, what... Does he recommend a type of plea deal?
Well, he was telling me that if we go to trial, they're going to hang me. Because they're going to see all the pictures of Mia.
Right.
And everything that Solomon had done to her.
And throw it to the jurors.
Yeah, and they won't show no mercy for me.
Right.
So I told him, since that's the case, then just give me time.
Right.
Because I don't want my mom to see those pictures.
Right.
It's bad enough I have to live with those for the rest of my life.
Right.
That they're embedded in my head and like...
So there's 10... So you received 10 years? Or...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was your plea deal. And so you went in front of the judge and basically they said 10 years.
Yeah.
And so when you're walking in that van... Okay, I'm sure a van or bus going to... Where did you stay in the county jail or...
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't into the big prisons.
I did go into prison after the county jail. Okay.
So when you were being driven to a prison and you just finished 10... They just told you 10 years. What in the world was going in your mind? Were you relieved? Were you just, oh my goodness?
I was relieved.
Okay. You weren't suicidal or anything like that?
No.
Okay. So then your mom, she began to visit you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think this is before you went to a prison. And that's when your mom bumped into Ava.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you guys don't know the story, you didn't listen to Isabel's podcast because you're lazy. let me explain to you. Eva goes to our church, or Ava goes to our church, and her son is in prison too. And she was on a prayer team, ended up praying with your mother. Your mother says, I've got to find a church. And therefore, Ava goes, hey, Pastor Kevin's real cool. Go see him. And I think the first time I met your mom was she made an appointment with me and just flat out told me where she was, and she was angry at God and stuff like that. And that was probably 4 years. That was 2013. Is that when you went into prison?
I went in 2010.
So it's been a while since your mom's been coming. And so I've always wanted to ask someone this. How is prison life? I mean, it's just for my interest. Because that would be the total biggest nightmare of my life, in prison. Is it as bad as they say it is, or what was it like every day?
I don't think they put there. You're never going to hear everything unless you hear it from someone that's actually been there.
Okay.
And it's going to be a lot of different stories, too.
Okay.
Like,
what was your story?
I take it as a blessing. There was a lot of negativity in there. The cops were really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You get judged a lot. You get called baby killer. And
so they would call you baby killer, the cops? Okay.
And the inmates. The cops would tell the inmates so they could fight you and stuff and try to do stuff to you.
Oh, wow.
But I was fearless.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I had nothing to lose.
Right.
So I never felt like I had to explain myself to so many people in my life. Like, but I did. I explained a lot of my story to people, and they ended up backing away from me and looking at me different. Right. Like, okay, she's not what we thought she was. And I think just me being me showed them that too.
Mm-hmm.
God used me a lot while I was in there. A lot of people would come to me for prayer and questions about the Bible and what should they do about their case. And, like, can I translate their dreams for them? And, like, just a lot of things. Like, a lot of people came to God because he used me.
Right.
Not because of me, but he used me to, like, help people.
Yeah. Did you make good friends then?
A lot.
Okay. Do you still keep in touch?
I do.
Okay. Are any of them still in, or any of them come out?
A lot of them are still in there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you got the notice that you're going to be released, okay, and obviously you didn't serve the whole 10 years.
No.
Okay. So how many years did you serve?
5.
5 years,
mm-hmm.
which is typical. For good behavior, I'm assuming?
It was 10 years with half. They decided to give me half time.
Okay.
I'm sure my good behavior went along with it.
Okay.
But
so you were in prison 5 years. Do you remember walking out of prison? Your mom picked you up?
Mm-hmm, my mom and her baby sister.
Okay. Do you remember? I mean, what's the feelings like you're walking out of prison and you're free for the first time in 5 years?
I was scared.
Were you?
Yeah.
What were you scared of? I'm asking these questions.
No, it's good.
Okay.
I was afraid of not seeing Mia.
Mia, your daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Um,
is she buried or cremated?
She's in the mausoleum, so she's buried.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew she was gone. Mm-hmm. I seen her. I went to her funeral and everything. But the day I got released, I kind of didn't want to leave.
The prison?
Yeah. I got used to missing my mom. Missing Mia. And sometimes telling myself, well, a lot of times telling myself, Mia's with my mom or with her dad or something. Yeah.
Alright. Just you're looking for some hope. Yeah. Like, this didn't happen. The denial factor.
Yeah.
So it's more like when you got out of prison, the reality hits.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, now you've been out of prison for how long now?
It just turned 2 years, September 16th.
Okay, 2 years. Now, do you think it's more of a psychological battle being out? Meaning, like, it's in your head, like, it is really hard going from, I just lost my daughter, to I've been arrested for murder, I did a plea deal, I served prison for 5 years, and then smack them out.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, because I think what was going on, I remember when I first met you, you came to church on a Saturday night, and I gave you a big hug and stuff like this. And I said, welcome home. But there was a part of you that wanted to embrace the church and pulled away, then embraced and pulled away. So it was like, Janine was in and out, in and out.
Yeah.
Which there had to be some type of battle within. What was going on within?
I felt like if I embrace the church, it was me totally embracing the fact that I lost Mia.
Okay. So for you, this is totally, for you to embrace the loss of Mia more, it's like, it is so painful to you, right? So therefore, it's just like, I don't want to embrace it. I don't want to embrace it. I don't want to embrace it. So let's speed up a little to a year ago, a little less than a year ago. You met someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse. And so therefore, you got pregnant again. Now this is Aaron. We're recording this on October 31st. And so by the time this is aired...
September
31st. I'm sorry. September 31st, we're recording this on a Saturday. But it won't air until today, which is the 25th of October. Because I have to say today, which is not today, it's next month. It's the end of the month. So anyway, so by the time people hear this, you've already had your baby.
Yeah.
And so let's say someone's going, oh my goodness, Janine, why in the world would you get pregnant again? You know, why don't you just, you know what, I just learned this incredible lesson. I just feel this. Because your mom...
I heard that before.
Oh, of course. I'm just telling what people are thinking.
Uh-huh.
And so, was this planned?
No.
No, okay. So, because I remember, you know, I have your mom in our prayer group. Your mom struggles with this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she doesn't want love, because she loves so deeply her first granddaughter. And then it gets to the point where, oh my goodness, I don't want to lose, I don't want to loss.
Mm-hmm.
What was the processing? Well, obviously, you just found out you were pregnant. And, you know, there are birth controls, right? So, what was, when you found out you were pregnant, were you scared? Were you happy?
I was a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Like, the thing that I wasn't scared about was Jesse, because I've known Jesse since high school.
Okay.
I felt safe and comfortable with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew me, I knew him right. and stuff. Like, I didn't feel like, okay, this is somebody I have to get to know all over again right. and, like, be weary of and stuff. although I still felt like, okay, wait a minute, because right. you don't really ever know someone fully. Right. But when I found out that I was pregnant with Janessa, I...
That's what you're naming your daughter.
Yeah.
Janessa. Okay.
This is going to... Okay, now I'm going to take you for a spin.
Oh, you already because, have. Okay.
Because when I was away, I was... When I was in the county job...
Right.
I was doing a lot of, like... We're doing a lot of prayer groups right. and fasting and right. all kinds of stuff. And I was fasting. It was Easter. I had... It was my 7th day fasting. Where I was break... I was in a break fast on Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading this Karen Kingsbury book and reading my Bible and stuff. And Karen Kingsbury is a Christian author. She, it was, I forgot what the name of the book was. I have it written down at mm-hmm. home. This couple had a little girl and her name was Janessa. Prior to that, prior to me picking up that book and reading it, and I was reading my Bible, God kept telling me, you're going to be a mom again. And I was like, I dropped my Bible on my bunk and I was just like, me, a mom again? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to be a mom again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be an aunt. I'll probably adopt.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me, you're going to be a mom and it's going to be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, definitely not. If it's not Mia, I don't want a baby.
Mm-hmm.
He really kept instilling it in me, like kept pressing me about it and pressing me about mm-hmm. it. And I told my mom, and my mom was just like, what are you talking about kids for? Like, why are you talking about babies? Right. Like, no. And she felt the way I felt too.
Of course. And like, she still does.
Yeah. So I was just like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
When I was reading the book and the name Janessa, I was like, wow, that's a really pretty name.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up falling asleep reading the book. And in my dream, I had a dream that I was holding a little girl and that her name was Janessa. And I'm like, here we go. When I woke up, I was like, here we go. I dreamt what the book said, what mm-hmm. the book was talking about, but only it was my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up, I was like, God, I was like, take that off my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I even thinking about having a baby? Like, you keep telling me about a baby, but I'm not ready for a baby. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not even out yet. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it out. And it turns out that he told me, you're going to have a little girl and you're going to name her Janessa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay, like mm-hmm. that sounds far-fetched. So while I was in there, I had like just this like urge to just, okay, if I have a baby and it's a girl, I'm going to name her Janessa Bella Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And Janessa means gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Bell means beautiful. Amor means love.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I took it is, if I become a mom again, it's because of God's gracious, beautiful love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay. And then a few years pass. Now in 2017, I find out I'm pregnant. And I'm just like, oh.
Now, one of the things, too, which I thought was interesting, our church, the ladies in the church, decided to have a baby shower for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was packed.
It was.
A lot of people were there giving a baby shower. And I popped in. I was not invited, but I popped in anyway and sat with a bunch of ladies and watched you open the gifts. But you were in tears, and you were thanking after they opened all the gifts. But there was some deep revelation that was going in your heart at that moment as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What was going on in your heart when you were trying to thank the people, but you were kind of choked up?
Everybody knew me, including you, before I knew you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Through my mom and through... whatever the spirit put in you guys and let you guys know. That also was part of me pulling back when I first got home, was that you guys had already embraced me before you even knew me. Mm-hmm. Before I knew you.
Right.
And the love, the attention, the genuine everything about everybody that was there that day. Like, it's something that I never experienced that, like, not being judged.
Mm.
Everybody thinking positive and giving me good words and stuff and being happy that I'm gonna have a baby.
Right.
And not, oh, you shouldn't be pregnant or oh, this, oh, that.
Mm.
I felt alone up until that day.
Okay. Did you notice that, did this church surprise you in a sense on how much they embraced you?
From when I was away.
Yeah.
Like, and my mom, the change in my mom
mm-hmm.
meant everything to me.
Okay. You saw a big change in your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your mother always says, this church saved me. Mm-hmm. Saved my life. That's what your mom always said. So, as we wind the podcast down, and this has been a deep podcast, mm-hmm. Listening to the story. And so, what, obviously, today, as this broadcast on the day you've had your baby. And so what is your prayer? What is your dream now? Based on all your experiences in life, what is your prayer and your dream now for your daughter?
To embrace everybody
mm-hmm.
that loves me and mm-hmm. really heed and not feel like I'm going to be bashed or anything like mm-hmm. that. To be able to show her to receive everybody's love and to not be afraid to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be ashamed. And to really be involved, like, because I feel like I was always kind of scared to be open about God because my mom was kind of against it because
mm-hmm.
she's been through a lot when she was younger.
Right.
And as far as Christianity, and I don't want Janessa to feel like that. I want Janessa to be involved. I want her to be open. I want her to be free
mm-hmm.
to receive God's love and give God's love mm-hmm. back and be in the church and stuff. I want her to have a different lifestyle, like, not what I chose before.
Right.
Like, I want to show her, and she's not going to be perfect, but I want her to know that
right.
it's okay to make mistakes, but to learn from them and stick by them. Like, not to be so hard-headed about stuff.
Like her mother.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing the story, and if you guys join us on every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Saturday night at 6 p.m. But so if you see Janine and her daughter in church this coming Sunday, you've heard the story, do embrace them, do give a big hug to them. Remember, every day is a gift from God. We need to use it wisely. And remember the grace of God, the patience of God, and how we can begin a new life again, even despite our mistakes that we've done in life. We live, we are saved by grace alone. God bless you, and I'll see you next week. Join us next week as well for another Hump Day podcast. I believe it's Al Johnson, a.k.a. my electric car buddy. So anyway, join us next week for that podcast. God bless you, and I'll see you next week.